You were just listening to Da Pacem Domine by Estonian composer Arvo Pärt, who was born in 1935, as performed by the Estonian Philharmonic Chamber Choir and the Tallinn Chamber Orchestra, conducted by Tonu Kaljuste. Well, the music of Arvo Pärt was the main musical feature in the first issue of Music and Literature. And I am honored to have as my guest, publisher and editor of the magazine, Taylor Davis Van Atta. Taylor, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you here. The main musical feature of the recently released fifth issue is the great Finnish composer Kaija Saariaho. However, before we get to that, let me just read a little bit of an introduction to the magazine. Music and Literature and Arts magazine is devoted to publishing excellent new literature on and by underrepresented artists from around the world. Each issue of Music and Literature assembles an international group of critics and writers in celebration of three featured artists whose work has yet to reach its deserved audience. Through in-depth essays, appreciations, interviews, and previously unpublished work by the featured artists, Music and Literature offers readers comprehensive coverage of each artist's entire career while actively promoting their work to other editors and publishers around the world. Published as print editions and soon to be offered as digital editions as well, issues of Music and Literature are designed to meet the immediate needs of modern readers while enduring and becoming permanent resources for future generations of readers, scholars, and artists. Well, we will talk about Kaija Saariaho and the recently released fifth issue in just a little while. In addition to hearing some of her music, we will be listening to an extensive interview with the composer, which I conducted last week in New York. We will also be listening to music by composers whom have been featured in earlier editions of the magazine. Well, first of all, Taylor, welcome back. I guess I said welcome already. It's good to have you here again. How and when did Music and Literature begin?
I founded Music and Literature in 2011, and our first issue appeared in fall 2012. Really, the journal is sort of an act of frustration, to be honest. We live in a time and culture that is largely disposable and commercially obsessed and fleeting in its taste. And this is really an impulse against all of that. When I started, I wanted to publish a journal that was intensely focused on particular artists whose work I love. And I wanted to try to produce portfolios of new and newly translated writings on those artists. And I wanted that writing to be intelligent, to be inquisitive, to be in depth, in short, writing that I myself want to read. So in the beginning, there was really just this impulse to read more, to learn more, and to have a deeper appreciation of my favorite artists.
Sounds good, Taylor. And you obviously are very much involved with it. Why don't you share a little bit about your background as well as that of your staff, which I guess is rather huge. Right? I mean,
yeah.
Go ahead.
We're a staff of five. We're all volunteer. My personal background is largely in literature and in music. I've played violin since I was 4 years old. And I grew up in a house, stacked floor to ceilings with books. And so my whole life, I haven't known any other thing. And personally and professionally, of course, my interests go beyond music and literature. And that's reflected in the magazine as well.
Absolutely. Definitely. And what about some of your staff?
Yeah, so I'm actually co-editor of Music and Literature. The other editor is Daniel Medden, and he's based in Paris. Jeffrey Zuckerman is our digital editor. He's the brain behind our website, and hopefully we can talk a little bit more about that later on.
We definitely will.
Madeline LaRue is based in Berlin, and she is our associate editor as well as our director of publicity. And Matt Mendez is also based in New York, and he's our digital musical editor. And it's really, I'll just say, you know, the whole project is just a labor of love, and it's highly collaborative. We're all five of us, even though we're scattered across the globe, we're in touch every day. We work very closely together. We work very closely with our artists. And, it all comes together because of this common passion that we all share.
You know, it's so interesting because you talk about the passion about what you do with the written side. And I guess that relates to kind of the passion I have here. And all of us here who do our presentations here on the air, all of our, the DJs here, because of our passion. We do so much, so many of us, as labors of love. And that's what I think people should always remember, because we all have regular jobs and we all, you know, we have to keep eating.
Yeah, jobs, yeah. Family.
And
yeah,
family, yeah, like you just got have a, you have a 20-month-old one
around. And we all, you know, and we only work with people who are already overcommitted in their lives. You know, our featured artists are incredibly busy, our contributors, translators, you know, boosters, donors, everybody.
Right. You gotta love what you do.
So it's just, you know, there's an incredible amount of goodwill that's generated, around this project that allow us to bring together these issues and then to go out into the world and put on these wonderful events.
Well, let's go to another topic. In the little intro, I mentioned underrepresented artists. Now, how do you decide what is underrepresented and what is considered underrepresented? You knew I was going to ask that.
Yeah, I love this question. It's one that it's one that we get quite often.
I'm sure.
You know, with Arvo Pärt and Kaija Saariaho in particular, these are two of the most prolifically performed living composers, and you know, both have enjoyed major premieres in the U.S. But you know, I found that with Pärt, when I decided to do that portfolio, I read everything that I could in the major outlets particularly around the premiere of his Fourth Symphony in Los Angeles. And I just found the coverage wanting. And I think that there's sort of a missing or an anemic class of informed and inquisitive literature on the arts. I believe that there is a genuine need for smart and accessible and in-depth literature. So there's certainly that element to it that these artists are underrepresented in English, and which really gets into the heart of our mission, which is global in scope. And so it's, you know, we pick featured artists who hail from around the world and who are global voices. And so it's fitting that our contributors are also hail from around the world. And go ahead.
So you obviously have a large staff of translators.
Yes. Yes, we only work with the best, and that's certainly one of our challenges is as I was saying before, you know, everybody is pressed for time, and this element of finding the right moments to. Mm-hmm. To bring everything together, all the elements, and because every issue has at least 40 to 50 contributors, many of whom are translators.
Right, and 40 to 50 contributors. Also, one thing I want to point out before we continue is that each issue of Music and Literature is a huge volume. The recent fifth volume has over 300 pages. Now, Taylor, is this magazine becoming, I guess, bigger than you had anticipated originally?
Originally, you know, it was always my intention to produce portfolios that were between 80 and 120 pages. So, But yes, I mean, this is
it seems they're getting bigger and bigger, actually.
They are. They are. And after, you know, after we produced the fourth issue, mm-hmm. I was on the phone with Daniel, and I was like, Daniel, we can't do another issue that's 300 pages long. You know, we have to get this down to you know, a more manageable.
So it went down to 300 pages.
So it went down to 309 pages. But, you know, it's 309 pages and not 308 pages. Everything in there yeah. is crucial.
That's right. Well, let's go back to the first issue very briefly. I mentioned, of course, Arvo Pärt. Who else was featured in the first issue? A couple of writers, correct?
Right. So we featured a young Saudi-born writer of Armenian descent named Micheline Aharonian Markham, and a American author, Hubert Selby Jr.
Very good. Well, now let's go to issue two. Now, which featured, I guess, the works of three writers. Taylor, why don't you just very briefly tell us a bit about that issue?
Well, it actually featured a writer, a filmmaker, and a painter. The writer, too, so it featured two Hungarian giants, as it were, the writer Laszlo Krajnahorkai and his collaborator, the filmmaker Belatar, as well as the German painter Max Neumann, who has also collaborated with Laszlo on projects in the past.
Very good. Well, now let's go to the third issue, which is, I guess, one of my favorite issues because it featured two musicians, composer Vladimir Godar from Slovakia and Iva Bitova from the Czech Republic. Iva Bitova is not only a composer, but also an avant-garde violinist and singer. Many of her works are, in general, abstract variations on folk-like melodies shaped by the classical and gypsy music of the tiny Moravian villages where she spent her formative years. Let's listen now to one of her works. We listen now to Iva Bitova perform her composition, The Vampire's Ball.
Thank you.
Just listen to a performance of music by Eva Bitova as performed by the composer. That was her composition, The Vampire's Ball. Music by Eva Bitova here on WPRB. Well, I am here with Taylor Davis Van Etta, publisher and editor of the magazine Music and Literature. Well, Taylor, let's go to the nitty-gritty a bit. How do your subjects and writers get picked?
There are plenty of challenges with being a nonprofit charitable organization, but one of the benefits and why we must be a nonprofit is that it means that we can be uncompromising in our selection of artists. And because our success and our growth is not solely predicated on commercial viability.
Right.
And so the artists whose work we really believe in and whose work is really worth paying attention to. That's the bottom line for us.
So understandable. Again, very similar to what we do here. Again, in the literary equivalent, really. It's amazing. Very interesting. Well, let's go now, Taylor, briefly over the steps involved from the beginning. The initial organization of a volume of the journal to actual publication. Some of the steps involved from beginning to it gets into the hands of the readers.
Well, to begin with the full participation of the featured artist or their estate, if they've passed on, is a prerequisite for us. We work directly with the artist.
Makes sense.
And that's the only way that we can provide the depth of coverage that we do. So this is really a highly collaborative process. Each portfolio takes between 9 and 18 months to come together. We work with the artist, their agent, their manager, their publishers, their record labels, and their closest artistic collaborators. So at the beginning, we have a long discussion, ideally in person, with the artists, either Daniel or I or both of us. And at that meeting, we lay out the ambition behind the project. We ask them for their recommendations for materials and collaborators and contributors. And we strategize not only about how to obtain the materials we want to publish, but also about, you know, 2 years later, the live programming that we're going to put on, and about how best to use the publication to promote their work around the world. And so, you know, maybe I'm making this sound more methodical than it actually is, because over the 9 to 18 months, of course, there's a lot of inspiration, there's a lot of stuff, serendipity, and there's a lot of stuff that just comes out as we learn more and more and read more and more and really submerge ourselves into, you know, the work of that artist.
When you started the magazine, Taylor, back with the Arvo Pärt issue, have you learned a lot about publishing since that point, about little, I guess, things that can happen and things that have to be double-checked and, you know?
Oh, yeah. My background is in literary publishing. I've worked for various presses and journals in the past. For music and literature, in some ways, all of that experience, it was invaluable experience, but the project, what we're doing is its own thing, and we've needed to learn a lot along the way, and we're still learning. And every issue, every portfolio, you know, this is one of the great joys of what we do, is that each portfolio is its own project. We have to reinvent and reinvent and reinvent.
Well, we'll be talking a little bit later about how listeners can get more information about the magazine and about the magazine's website. We'll get to that in a little while. For now, though, let's go to another musician that was featured in Volume 3, Slovak composer Vladimir Godar. Now, how was he chosen, Taylor? What was it about his music that appealed to you?
Well, you actually introduced me to Godar some years ago, and when Mater was released by ECM Records. And I was incredibly taken with that, and I had Eva Batova, of course. He wrote the vocal parts
for her,
and I was familiar with her music before I was familiar with Godar, and so when Mater came out, you know, this was obviously I listened to Mater and I was on fire. You know, I loved it, and so from there, I learned as much as I could. I got my hands on as much of Godar's music as I could. And eventually I was in touch with Godar and he sent me everything. And then same with Batova. And so this issue really it became a natural pairing.
Well, back, I remember my initial presentation or my initial exposure to Godar was a very inexpensive CD on the Point Classics label, I believe, which had a Concerto Grosso on it. And I was listening to that and was absolutely taken. I mean, Godar is active in the field of musicology, and you hear the influence of early music in his works. And this last movement of this composition was titled Ground. And it was very beautiful. In fact, I remember that movement of that piece was actually played, I believe, on my second show here.
Really?
17 years ago. That's how much I loved it back then and still do. Well, we are going to listen now to a pair of sections from Vladimir Godar's glorious cycle, Mater. Now, I have to say, this is music truly from the heart. We are going to listen to the Magnificat, dating from 2003, and Et Sepulchre, dating from 1997. We hear vocalist Iva Bitova, along with the Bratislava Conservatory Choir and members of Solamente Naturali, conducted by Marek Strinzel. We listen now to the Magnificat and Ecce Puer from Mater by Slovak composer Vladimir Godar.
Prijali Izraela služebnika.
You were just listening to two selections from Mater by Slovak composer Vladimir Godar, who was born in 1956. We began with the Magnificat, and that was followed by Ecce Puer. In our performance, you heard vocalist Iva Bitova, along with the Bratislava Conservatory Choir and members of Solamente Naturali, conducted by Marek Strinzel. Once again, music by Vladimir Godar. Well, I am sitting here with the publisher and editor of the magazine, Music and Literature, Taylor Davis Van Etta. Taylor, welcome back.
Thank you.
It's great to have you here, and thank you for coming. We've talked a tremendous amount about the magazine and what it does, and at this point, I am sure that many listeners are interested in learning more about the magazine, Music and Literature. Where can they get more information about it, and can they subscribe and purchase copies? Why don't you take over?
Yeah, absolutely. I would recommend they visit our website, which is www.musicandliterature.org. And on our website, you can subscribe. Through the website, you can buy back issues, individual issues, or subscribe. Also on our website appear weekly reviews of newly released books in translation and beginning in January of new music. There's also a features section, which is one of my favorite parts of the project at large. And it's really a complement to the print editions, and it helps us fulfill our mission of sustained commitment to our featured artists. So it's not as if we publish these print editions and then we forget about the artists. We continue to cover them as they produce new work. And we also use this feature section to forecast future issues and future featured artists. So for instance, currently on our featured section, you'll find an interview that I conducted earlier this year with the Ukrainian composer Victoria Poleva, who will be the featured artist, featured composer in our sixth edition next spring. And you'll find a review of the recent, somewhat recent, Carnegie Hall appearance by Arvo Pärt.
Thank you very much, Taylor. Now, one wonderful thing which the magazine does is that there are concerts that appear in conjunction with the magazine, and we'll be talking a little more about the concert tomorrow night featuring Kaija Saariaho, but just share with us a little bit about these concerts in general.
Yeah, these are really central to our programming at large and to our mission. They are distinguishes our live programming, I think, is the way in which we bring together artists who would not normally there wouldn't be another instance in which these artists would meet on the same stage. So, for instance, tomorrow night we're at Scandinavia House in Manhattan with Kaija Saariaho and five of her soloists, and we're going to be joined by the wonderful Danish writer Naya Marie Eit. And it's hard to imagine another instance or circumstance in which these two great artists would meet and present on the same stage.
Sounds very exciting. Well, let's go very briefly about the contents of Volume 4 of Music and Literature.
Yeah, the two featured musician-composers in number four are Maya Hamburger and Barry Guy. Maya is a Baroque violinist of Swiss descent, and Barry Guy is a British double bassist. And they have individual careers, very esteemed individual careers, and a large library of collaborative works as well. And so in this portfolio, we feature new interviews with them. We feature Barry Guy does these incredibly elaborate, beautiful graphic scores, and we reproduce some of these in the issue. And we also have a section, a portfolio in and of itself, on John Elliott Gardiner's Bach Cantata pilgrimage, which happened in 1999-2000, which Maya was a part of and Barry was a part of, and we actually got John Elliott Gardner to write about Maya and Barry for the occasion of this issue.
Sounds great. Well, let's go now to a piece by Barry Guy. We listen to Breathing Earth, and this will be performed by the composer on double bass, along with Maya Hamburger on Baroque violin.
Thank you.